welcome to this episode of Retain FM, and today I am joined by me good mate from, and my malt vinegar loving mate, that's who you are, from the other side of the pond, Mr. Kyle Van Dusen. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey Pete, how's it going? I do love malt vinegar, and there's not enough good applications for malt vinegar, but I that's something I'm never going to forget, is our malt vinegar exchange, probably the first time we ever talked.
Indeed. And if you don't know what that's about, Kyle does a whole load of things, which we'll unpack in a minute. But one of the things he does is run the Admin Bar, and that's a Facebook community. And yeah, so go join the Admin Bar, even if it is just a search for the post about malt vinegar. I think that's all you need to put in and it will come up, because we have sort of spoken about it quite a lot, really.
We can probably get the, I think I have it chopped down. We can probably include it in the show notes for folks.
Oh, fantastic. In which case, yeah, wherever the link is to the show notes, it'll be in the intro and outro. Go and see it, and we'll drop it in there, because it was very funny. So Kyle runs Ogle Web. He runs the Admin Bar, as I've mentioned. He's recently launched Docket WP. We're going to go into all of that. But Kyle, do you want to introduce yourself to the lovely ladies and gentlemen sitting at home?
Yeah, I mean, you did a good job so far. So yes, I live in Texas, just outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I have a small agency that is just me, which is the way I'd like it to continue to be. That comes with challenges as well. But so I've been doing this full-time since 2017, building websites and helping businesses with their digital marketing. And like you said, yes, we started the Admin Bar about 2 years ago. So we have a nice, fun Facebook community over there, a website full of podcasts and things like that. And then, as you mentioned, we, me and Andre from Project Huddle launched Docket WP just a few months ago, for reasons that I think we're going to get to in this podcast.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you really have been sort of one of the people that I know that I've connected with most online. And for full transparency, Kyle and I have a great friendship, and we you know, we have sent lots of messenger messages and all that kind of stuff, and talk crap about malt vinegar and US presidencies and all of that sort of stuff. But you have been one of the guys that I've connected with the most that's kind of embraced the content marketing mantra. And you've then rolled it out consistently over a number of your platforms. So you do it for yourself through Ogle Web. You also generate huge amounts of content through the Admin Bar. So I guess before we sort of get on to Docket WP, I'm guessing there's some kind of background in there as to where this idea of needing to document processes has come from.
I mean, for me, I think it was because I came to this industry from like a cousin industry, right? So I worked in print design before this for about 15 years. And so a lot of those principles and things translated fairly well, but the web is a completely different story than, you know, a sheet of paper that I'm printing on. So there was a lot of things for me to learn. I did most of my education via, you know, YouTube and podcasts and everything else. So the way I kind of learned all this stuff was so bits and pieces here and there. And I felt like every time I was going back and starting a new job or starting to build a new page or do this one thing that I had done in the past, it was like I was having to start over from scratch again and go back and find those old videos that I watched, and it was such a waste of time to go back and reinvent the wheel every time, you know, because when I spent 15 years in the print industry, I knew these things like the back of my hand. I didn't have to really think about it, but, you know, only doing this for 3.5, almost 4 years now, you know, it's not something that's completely ingrained in my DNA. And I know the more efficient I can be with things, the more profitable I can be with things, which is always a good thing.
Absolutely. And it also helps with your quality control as well, doesn't it? Because it means that you're not going to miss things or overlook things, or that it's those moments when you're trying to get websites live on a Friday afternoon and you know, you're trying to do it quickly in order to finish for the weekend or whatever, that things often get overlooked. So having the processes solidified in place, it just takes away that element of worrying about quality in many respects.
Yeah, and that's another one of the challenges when you're doing this solo is you don't have another team member to hand things off to and ask them to look it over, or get a second opinion necessarily. Now, I have people that, you know, I'm friends with online. Matt Siebert, who runs the admin bar with me, we go back and forth pretty much every day on different projects and things like that. But you just don't have those checks and balances in place within your own agency. How easy is it to misspell something, you know, or whatever it may be, if you don't have somebody else kind of helping you look at all those things. So having all those processes in place to go through and do all those checks and make sure you're going through everything you need to go through is almost like having that other employee there to kind of double check everything with you.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I ran a freelance business for a number of years, and the expression of the book literally stops with you couldn't be truer. Yeah. when it comes to that. So do you want to take us on a bit of a journey, I suppose? So the last time that we spoke, we were talking about networking, and you explained about your business then and a bit about the admin bar. So that was about a year ago. So do you want to take us on a bit of a journey about what's happened and how Docket WP's come about since then?
Yeah. So I know we've talked about this before, but I think everybody that listens to this podcast probably already agrees that having recurring revenue is pretty much the most important thing in a web agency. Otherwise, it's such a roller coaster. It's hard to do this and continue doing this and not pull all your hair out, which I've gotten close to do several times. But not only, you know, beyond the securing recurring revenue or finding things to sell to clients as far as recurring revenue. You know, at some point you can max yourself out pretty quickly if you don't have good systems and processes in place. And you can also have recurring revenue that's almost like somebody that hires you for a job every month. And I think there's a distinction there between something that's a little bit more on autopilot. You're getting, you know, your client's getting automatically billed and we're automatically taking care of these things, versus every month you go make an invoice and you go do a bunch of stuff for them, you know? So it's two different things. And I really felt like a lot of the customers I had on care plans, maintenance plans, even doing SEO work, it was almost like I was starting a new job with them every month because I didn't go through the same exact steps each and every month to make sure everything was kind of on, you know, on autopilot and easy to replicate each and every month. So one of those things was the launching of websites and onboarding people into my maintenance packages, which is kind of one big, you know, process all on its own. But so I was having a lot of trouble with, I had a launch checklist that I would go through when it was convenient. So it was stuffed over in Trello or here or there, or, you know, I love all these project management tools, but my problem with them is they're outside of where I'm working and it causes me to jump back and forth. And when I get busy, I kind of, you know, forget about doing all that. So I wasn't always consistent about doing it. So I reached out to Andre because him and I chat a bunch and I love the way Project Huddle works. And I said, hey, man, I was wondering if you could help me build something that would live inside WordPress where I could put these checklists right inside my dashboard so I don't have to leave. So there's no excuse of going and logging into a third party and finding what I need and jumping back and forth between browser tabs. And he's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we kind of started this journey with just kind of trying to solve this problem that I was having. And it really kind of just morphed from there.
It's really kind of Andre to go and, you know, offer to solve a problem that only you had.
Yeah, well, he's a super nice guy. No, when we started talking about it, I told him I had this idea and I think it would be helpful to a lot of people. So, you know, the initial idea, like most things you start out with, wasn't quite as in depth as what we've ended up with. But it's kind of just all built on top of that. And we formed a really nice partnership and he and I work well together. And I feel like we're solving a lot more problems than I initially started out with.
So in its simplest form, then Docket literally does what you've said, doesn't it? It has it is an interface. It basically puts a button in the back end of WordPress that then links to the Docker account. In that account, you can then create lists of your processes and basically check off each item as you go through them, so that you can see those lists complete as you go through them. In its simplest form, that's kind of it. But then you've taken it another level with some layers of functionality to do with pre-built lists and importing lists that have really made it come to life. And you've got some experts to write. I only say that because you asked me to write one, and you know, I'm not trying to put anybody else down other than myself to provide these lists on particular topics, so that you can use it for a whole bunch of stuff, and you can get expert lists straight into your account on any website that you're working on.
Yeah, so that all kind of started from like market research as we started doing this, right? So I started reaching out to people and asking them, you know, do you follow step-by-step processes? What processes do you have in place? And what I learned is a lot of people are like me, like, yeah, I kind of have a loose process over here for that one thing, but I mainly just wing it. And so we thought, well, you know, what would be pretty neat to include in here is some processes that you can start out with. You know, a lot of people said, I don't feel comfortable writing down processes because I don't feel like I know what I'm doing well enough to say, hey, this is the steps you take. You know, so it's kind of that it's hard to take that first step. So what we ended up doing was building like an official library. And inside that, it has a bunch of the kind of standard operating procedures website designers and developers would use. So there's things like launching a website, care plan and maintenance. Pete put together an awesome checklist for doing on-page SEO for any page on your website. So you can import that list in and quickly go through all those checks to make sure, you know, are the right headings in place? You know, do I have enough content? Have I done this and done that? You can step through that each and every time you publish a page to make sure that you have all these things in place. So it's kind of one of these things where you load it up into a WordPress install. We actually, for people that get nerdy about it, we're not saving anything to the WordPress database because that gets a little clunky. So this all happens offsite. It's more of kind of like a SaaS product. We've just built a plugin to connect it into WordPress. But basically, you load this up on your website and you can get to any of your processes from right there in the dashboard without having to jump back and forth, which I think not only saves some time, but honestly, for me, it just makes me more apt to actually use my processes because I don't have an excuse. It's one button that I'm already staring at.
You know, that is really the killer point there. And we've learned this from running SEO Hive, where we have our processes saved in a particular platform, and then we have obviously multiple staff, and we have to ensure that those staff go through those processes. And there have been times where we've done some Q&A stuff where actually we noticed that staff aren't using parts of the process, or they think that they know this set, so that, you know, they'll jump from point 3 to point 7 maybe because 4, 5 and 6 they think they've memorized, or they have memorized, but then over time they start to skip parts of the process. So and that's partly down to the fact that of the platform that we're using and the way that we need to share documents and all of that kind of stuff. It's a slightly different setup from where DocketWP is at the moment, but it comes down to that point of, even if you have the process, you still need to be inclined to use it, which is where the ease of use factor comes in, I suppose.
Yeah. And that was basically me, you know, especially, you know, I've said this several times already, but just being solo, you know, I don't have an accountability person where I had to say, okay, well, you can see in our system that I've already checked off these boxes. It's just up to me to do it, you know? So, left to our own devices, sometimes we can be a little bit lazy, but you know, when you get to a point, yeah, you know, I probably have 40 something people on care plans, which isn't a huge number, but when you're doing it yourself and taking on web build projects and running the admin bar and everything else, you know, that can be a ton of work. So making sure that you have processes in place to efficiently take care of those things every month, it would be impossible for me to get 40 care plans done, let alone scale that any higher, if I didn't have exact steps I was taking every month, because at some point you just have to start becoming more and more efficient. Or otherwise, like I said, it's just like you're pulling in new projects every month with your care plans.
Yeah, you're dead right. And I think there's a reality check that's needed when you start talking about recurring income, which is, or recurring revenue, which is to do with that scalability piece. And if you're trying to do produce a product or a service, a recurring service that is still dependent on some of your time, then there is only a finite amount of that. You will eventually run out of it. In which case, firstly, as you've just said, you do need to make your time as efficient as possible so that you can get through as many of these things as you possibly can. But secondly, if you do get to a point where you need to take on some external support, then you also have a well-documented process to go through and do that. And then you can onboard somebody else into your process and share it with it. And then you can almost guarantee a continuity of quality and service, etc., by doing that. I'd like to know your thoughts on how you developed your processes. So was it that you initially started by, I don't know, setting up a Google Doc or a Google Sheet or something, and then literally doing every individual point, or did you kind of group things together in themes? How did you initially start putting together your processes?
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, because I was kind of in that camp too. Like, how am I qualified to be the author of a process? I know that sounds kind of funny, but I didn't know that I knew everything well enough to be able to document it and say this is the way it should be done. So what I ended up starting to do was, I don't know, this was probably a year and a half or 2 years ago now. I started to write down every single step I took throughout the development of a website. So this goes from when I first had communication with the client to asking them to fill in my project discovery form to the proposal and all that. And then, even things like, I got into the nitty gritty when I need to clone my starter site, I need to go change the DNS, I need to go install a SSL certificate. And it was literally step by step by step by step, each mouse click I was having to make. And that was way too detailed, and I knew it was going to be too detailed as I did it. But what I wanted to really be able to see was, am I doing any of these things consistently? Am I doing some things that I could be doing more efficiently if I did them in a better order? So after writing that down and kind of walking back through it through several projects, I started to notice there was places that I can improve things, or I could move this around and make this easier. Or a huge one for me was, I was sending out the same types of emails to every client. So, hey, your proposal was signed. Thank you so much. Here's your invoice for your deposit. Once we do this, yada, yada, yada. So I started writing canned emails for all these things. And it was only because I wrote all this stuff down and had to look at it step by step by step, I could see where there was times I was, repeating things over and over unnecessarily, or where I could make the process quicker or more efficient by changing things around a little bit. So it was kind of the same thing with this. The first checklist we built inside Docket WP was literally for a website launch, because as I'm launching the website, obviously you want to make sure, we've all not checked the button to have search engines index the website. So obviously I don't want to make that mistake any more times than I have to. But there's lots of things within there, making sure that your social share images are great. Because the first thing your client's going to do is log into Facebook and say, hey, we got a brand new website. And if the image that pops up looks like junk, it's not a good reflection on you. So there's a lot of things in there that you have to make sure are in place. So that's literally what I did with the website launch, is just step by step by step, every single step I had to take. And then I kind of figured out where things group together or fit together. And you really learn a lot about your order of operations on things, which I think is where people can save a ton of time, is if you start looking at all these things. If you're already in the customizer, let's do all the customizer things at once, or if we need to go make graphics, let's get all those graphics made at one time. So spending a little bit of time thinking through all these things can really save you a ton of time in the future.
So a complete segue here, but am I the only one that thinks that the WordPress customizer could be like a ton better?
I think there's about 80% of WordPress that could be a ton better, but it's the ecosystem that makes it, you know, it's the ecosystem and the community that make it awesome. But I mean, even if you just look at the, like the dashboard and the back end of WordPress, it's, you know, it's pretty outdated.
Yeah, we need to be we need to be careful what we say about that though, because last time they updated it was with like properly, it was with the release of Gutenberg, and whilst that's been around for what 18 months or so now, it's taken this long for people to get used to the new layout of WordPress. So I suppose you do need to be careful with what we wish for. But yeah, I always find the customizer just. When you look at the way that other tools within WordPress work, so things like, you know, Elementor and Beaver Builder, etc., and then you look at the customizer, it seems like you're still stepping back in time. But anyway, that's complete segue.
The most confusing thing for me when I started with this was every time I used a different theme as I was like experimenting, the entire customizer changed, like where everything was. So, you know, once I learned that that's how it works, man, picking a theme and just sticking to it is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's when I was, so before we had, when I was a freelancer, we mentioned my freelance business a while ago, there was a friend of mine and I, he was also a WordPress developer, and this was before we had page builders and stuff like that, so we created a starter theme together. We kind of co-developed it, and we had it in a repo on GitHub, and we'd both commit things to it, and we used that as our starter theme. So we you know, it had all of the responsive stuff built in, it had dependencies built in, it had pre-processes for SAS and all that kind of stuff built in, so that it did all of the enqueuing of scripts for you in the functions file and all of that kind of stuff. So we went through, and that now seems like quite a simple thing, and actually you don't really need to think about it anymore because you go and download something like Page Builder framework or Astra theme or whatever it might be,
right?
Or Elementor's, what's Elementor's theme called, is it Hello, something like that?
Hello.
Hello. But yeah, so we went through and developed all of that, and I suppose at the time we didn't really think about it being a process, but really that's what we were doing. It was the same kind of methodology of what is the stuff you need every time, and then standardizing it into a base theme so that we could literally just have that as an install, duplicate, then it was one thing to keep up to date and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, but the anyway, it was a complete segue, as we said. I still don't get the customizer. I think it's an odd part of the WordPress backend, but there you go. So you've released Docket. We've not actually told people particularly yet how much it costs or what the process is if they're interested in finding out more. I can hand on heart say that whilst I have produced a list for it, I have bought it myself. I am a customer, and I do use it. There's something at the moment, I use it on some of my own projects rather than with our team, and maybe we can talk about that in a second. But do you want to tell people where they can find out more information and how much it costs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so you can go to docketwp.com. You can sign up for a free 7-day trial, so you can get a chance to check it all out and see how it works. The only thing that's limited inside the trial is we just don't give everybody access to all the pre-built lists, since that's kind of the intellectual property of the plugin itself, is getting access to all these lists. But you do get the launch checklist during the trial, so you can, you know, at least see how importing lists work, you know, and get a judge for the quality of the list and everything like that. Of course, everything's customizable in there. So if you download our launch checklist and you have some different things you need to put in there, it's super easy to edit and change the way you need. And then you can save it to your own little library. We did just add our 10th official list to the library, which is one that was provided by Brian Jackson. He used to work at Kinsta. He's the creator of the Perf Matters plugin. He's cool. Super knowledgeable about WordPress performance. In fact, on my little sales page, I put he's the person who literally wrote the book on WordPress performance. As I'm sitting here holding a book about WordPress performance published by him. But he just put together a really awesome checklist on really the essential things you need to do if you want a website to load fast. So there's all kinds of goodies in there. So I think, you know, a lot of people have come back and said, you know, just getting their hands on a few of these checklists has been worth it for them. So, but yeah, we're going to continue to put in some new features right now. The only place you can access your list is through WordPress. But what we're developing right now is kind of a standalone dashboard where you can kind of manage all your projects from one place. So you'll be able to log into your dashboard, see all the installs you have, see all the lists that are on all those installs, and be able to assign things and stuff like that. So we're continuing to build upon it. So, you know, now's the time to jump in if you want to check it out and take a look. Like I said, we have a free 7-day trial, and I have no idea when this episode will publish, but I'm sure during Black Friday we'll have something special there too.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because this should come out the Tuesday before Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So it should be perfectly timed for you, mate, to be honest.
There you go. So, go to docketwp.com and there'll be a banner of some sort that says how much is off, because I can't tell you right now.
Cool. Now, one thing I did just allude to is that one of the reasons that we haven't kind of rolled it out in our agency is, so our agency has like eight or nine people in it, but is because the initial launch of the product was basically designed for people like yourself, sort of independent solo digital agencies. I know that you've spoken to me in the past about the inclusion of teams. So is that something that's on your roadmap for the near future? Are we talking like 3 or 4 months or 6 months or a year? Or have you decided to part that idea altogether?
Yeah. So here, probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we released a feature which we call collaborators. So what that does is allow you to assign lists to people who don't have a DocketWP account. So right now, before collaborators, the only way you could access DocketWP is a separate login from WordPress. It's actually your DocketWP login. So if you wanted to work on a list with a coworker or a client that might be inside WordPress, you really had no way to do that unless you shared your login with them, which also gave them access to your entire account. So not a great idea. So what we rolled out a few weeks ago was the collaborators feature, which allows you to share specific lists with anybody who has a WordPress user account on that website. So let's say me and Pete are working on a website together. I brought him in to do some SEO. I can assign him a list from inside DocketWP as long as he has a WordPress login on my site. And then he can get in and manage that list. So he can see the list, check things off of the list, add tasks and all that, but he's not able to actually get into my account or my saved library, anything like that. Things you'd probably want to rope off from subcontractors or people, clients that you're working with or things like that. So that's what we rolled out for now. We have the idea of doing teams, which would give people a little bit more access. Like I said, the collaborators aren't able to create lists themselves, and they're not able to get into the saved list library. So those are some things that you'd likely want members of your team to be able to do. So we're just kind of waiting on feedback from how all this, the collaborators thing has worked for folks and really what they need. So we're trying to base all the roadmap off the features that we're hearing people requesting the most. So hearing that you're holding out a little bit too because of needing the team functionality is good for us to know. So we're rolling stuff out just as quickly as we can, but trying to be very mindful of what we add. The entire idea behind this was to make something that was cumbersome easy. So, you know, anytime me and Andre talk about a new feature, a new button or a new, you know, word inside the dashboard, whatever it may be, it's like, how can we make this as simple and easy and streamlined and less is more philosophy, you know? So that's always what we're looking at. So that's kind of why we're taking it a step at a time and seeing how everybody's using it. So we make sure that we make wise decisions as we move into the future instead of just making fast decisions.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. So I've got two questions left for you. The first one is, I suppose this isn't so much of a question, more of a statement, but I guess you'll know when you've made it when you integrate with Zapier or Zapier.
Right. Yeah. So all those things are definitely on the table. Because we've built all this inside Google Firebase, we have a lot of opportunities to do some neat things with this. But like I said, it's going to depend on what people are looking for. I know one of the things people wanted to be able to do is kind of be able to push and pull lists from their project management tools. So if they're using ClickUp or Asana or whatever it may be, there are some ways we could probably handle all that through Zapier if we have, you know, have the requests for that.
So, yeah, I mean, I meant that as a bit of a joke, but, you know, it's like, you know, I think that the
you're not even a real product if you don't have a Zapier integration, right?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. I was on Zapier earlier today with for something else. And I was typing in knowing that this interview was coming up and thinking, well, actually, you know what? You sort of, yeah, it's like that credibility. You're sort of not a real thing unless I can type your name into Zapier and then there you are, you know?
Well, consider us not a real thing yet.
So the second thing, I did mean that as a bit of a joke, to be fair. The second thing that was a bit more serious, I suppose, but is kind of just, I thought would be a good place to sort of wrap up, is a bit more of a personal question. So you launched Docket, what, 3 or 4 months ago off the top of my head, or has it been a bit longer than that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't remember. In Corona years, I don't know. It's hard to tell
it was during midsummer of Corona. That will probably date it near enough. So
it was either 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago. I'm not sure.
So how do you feel? How have you changed? Personally, what does it now mean to you to have launched a product that has been well accepted in the community? I mean, let's face it, it has been well accepted in the community and is genuinely adding value to people in a very different way to how your agency adds value to its clients.
Yeah, it's pretty strange because it's completely different than doing client project work. I mean, it's just about as opposite as you can get. So a few funny things that I've noted is I am now way kinder when I write in a support request to anyone because I realize what it's like to be on the other end of really shitty support request comments that are completely uncalled for. So I've realized now that the other person at the other end of Help Scout is just some guy trying to do his job, and hearing somebody be an asshole to him is not a good part of his day. So I'm a lot kinder in support requests now. But yeah, I mean, it's a different thing too, just on how you go about marketing things. You know, the idea of, you know, when we're building websites for people, we go out and try to sell. Once we've made the sale, then we have a ton of work to do, right? And with the product, we did a ton of work to try to go out and get the sale. And now when you do the sale, it's not, you know, there's a little bit more work because now you have more support burden or whatever it may be, but there's not that huge amount of work after you make the sale. So it's completely a different mind switch on like how the money comes in and how you have to like, you know, do all the work up front before you know if it's going to be rewarded. So it's been strange. It's been interesting. I've enjoyed it. You know, I like working on my own stuff more than I like working on client stuff. So that's probably why you find me in the admin bar so much and working on Docket stuff is I just prefer working on my own things. So that's given me the excuse to do that and build out my own stuff.
Well, mate, it's been a joy to sort of observe and to be part of and to, you know, to see from the outside how you've created it. So, and I thank you for your time today and coming and having a chat with us all about it. That's great. Guys, if you want to connect with Kyle, he's active in our Facebook group. So just go to peteeverett.com/group and tag away or go and head over to the admin bar because it is, you know, it's a brilliant resource if you're in this space. So they are very strict on their acceptance policies and their questions, however. So make sure that you're getting those all sorted. But other than that, yeah, go head on over to the admin bar. And
that's probably we're strict on.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of what it's like once you pass the gatekeeper. It's, no, you know.
You got to fill in the questions, man. So many people will write the crappiest thing. Just... they had no interest in joining the group. So yes, we're very careful about who we let in, but it's kept the group quality nice. So it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So head on over there, mate. Thank you again for your time. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you so much, Pete. I really appreciate it. I always love chatting with you.
You too, mate. See you soon.